This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome to episode 136 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, January 31st, 2014. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, and joining me this week is my plugin guru, Marcus Couch. Marcus, how many shows in a row is this for you now?
Four.
So what happens if next week you're on the show again? It's five.
Then I'm going to change the intro and mention myself in the intro next week.
I think that's justified. Sarah couldn't be with us today. She's actually celebrating an anniversary. So congratulations to her. Yes. And I promised that I wouldn't say anything behind her back. She told me she does listen to the show afterwards. So I don't know. We'll see. See if I'll keep my word. Congratulations, Sarah. And speaking of word, WordPress co-founder Mike Little gets his own Wikipedia page earlier this week. The folks behind winningwordpress.com created a Wikipedia page for Mike Little. Little is known about Mike Little. He's actually the co-founder of WordPress. He was the guy who left a comment on Matt's blog when he published a post about the blogging software dilemma. And it was that comment which I consider to be the birthplace of WordPress. Now, Mike's had a passion for technology since he's a little kid. And if you have the opportunity, you should watch the interview that Simon Dixon does with Mike Little during their WordCamp 10-year anniversary. Or WordPress 10-year anniversary party. A lot of cool stuff in that interview. And one of the things I find most interesting about Mike is it's only recently that he's sort of been able to figure out the scope in the massive success of the WordPress project that he helped co-founded. And I just thought that was pretty interesting.
He's kind of like the Steve Wozniak sort of, right? That kind of role, or the, Lars Ulrich to James Hetfield for Metallica reference out there. But it's kind of like that partnership where it was this kind of fluke mixture of just one particular moment or post, that brought them together and kind of changed the world from there.
Yeah, so if you know anything about Mike Little besides what's already on the Wikipedia page, consider editing the page and add more information to it, but be sure to follow the Wikipedia guidelines, or else, I've seen stuff on there where simple mistakes, they'll take down the page and delete it. It apparently doesn't take much to delete stuff on Wikipedia, so yeah. Just keep within the guidelines and everything will be okay. Marcus, you did Industry Night number 6 earlier this week.
That's right. Talking shop with John Overall, the same guy that I do the weekly WordPress plugins A to Z podcast. John and I have been doing that show for over 2 years, but rarely do we ever really talk about the inside stuff of WordPress beyond plugins. So we talked about emergency support that John does as far as a service, and we talked about where plugins are going, and John also described the actual 10 must plugins that he installs on every one of his client sites. So it's pretty interesting. It's about a 20-minute show, and if you're interested, check out wptavern.com and just look for Industry Night.
Now, give us one or two of those plugins if you remember them.
Well, there are, let's see, I'd have to check the show notes. It's been over a week and a half since I've actually done the interview. But specific ones, there are ones that don't rely on Google Analytics to monitor traffic. Some clients of John's don't really want to get into having to log into an analytics account to take care of that. So there are specific plugins for that. Security plugins, user modifications, and certain ones also that work with Gravity Forms too. So without giving specifics, there's a lot there, and you should check it out, definitely.
Cool, and stay tuned, because later on at the end of the show, you have 3 plugin picks for us again this week.
Absolutely, yeah.
So there's high demand out there for WordPress education, imagine that. And that high demand has prompted Treehouse to launch a new beginner's course. Treehouse is one of those technology firms that offers technology education courses in a virtual environment to help users pick up new skills. They've created a new beginner's course on the WordPress track titled How to Make a Website with WordPress. And it covers things like installing WordPress, managing and customizing themes, using custom post types, managing widgets and menus, and tips for using plugins. And it looks like Treehouse has plans to prioritize WordPress education. Zach Gordon, in a quote published on the post, he had mentioned something I think is interesting. He says, quote, "While our main goal is to set someone or get someone to the point where they are ready to work as a WordPress developer, a lot of folks are more interested in being WordPress power users than they are at being developers," end quote. Does that any of that surprise you, Marcus?
None. WordPress education is obviously something that's going to have to continue and expand as we go forward. Even places like lynda.com, I think it is, that do a lot of instructional.
That's the one I'm familiar with.
Yeah, they do a lot of instructional courses. They've had some WordPress courses already for a number of years, actually, going way back. So it really doesn't surprise me. I see a lot of different shortfalls in WordPress education when it comes to youth and children, and someday I'd like to work on projects that help out with that. But the more the merrier as far as people getting into WordPress, and the easier that WordPress seems like it is, the more complicated it becomes, because we're all used to specific functionalities within the editor and things, and as those change and as more people go into a mobile platform, as far as how they enter content in, things are going to change in WordPress. So you're definitely going to need to hit the books and really stay up to date on what it is that's going on out there.
Yeah, a few episodes ago we had Laurel Van Fossen on the show, and she is the instructor for a WordPress course at the University of Clark up there, and I believe it's I don't know if it's Oregon. It's probably Washington, up in that area. And they actually have an entire course built around WordPress. Well, WordPress is part of the course, but you earn credits for it. So it's really cool to see WordPress in that type of educational environment. You and I were chatting off the show. I mean, wouldn't it be cool if throughout the educational system, especially maybe even in middle school, I think would be a great place to have this at. I don't know about elementary school, but where WordPress could be like an elective where you have gym, you have music, you have shop class, maybe instead of just typing class, because kids are being bored now with iPhones and Android devices, it seems like. But I think it'd be cool if WordPress ended up being an elective in some of these,
absolutely.
In the educational system.
I'd love to see an entire tech track, not just WordPress, but maybe a little PHP coding, a little JavaScript coding, learn how to make an app with either, a WordPress technology or otherwise. Learn how to do some deep Excel formulas and, how to do SQL. It's not that hard for a kid to grasp that stuff. I was programming in BASIC and C and all that other stuff at age 10 and 12, so it's not that tough to grasp.
Do you think there are people out there who can't read or speak English or any other language, but they're a masterful coder? You put stuff in PHP language and it's just magic?
Absolutely. it's really down to association when you associate specific commands with specific functionalities, and then it's just like when you're a kid and you learn 1 plus 1 equals 2, well, this function plus this function equals this result, and it's really that elementary.
Yeah, I mean, we have Code Academy and we have some other teaching situations out there for code. It certainly seems like code is the future. If in this day and age, it's not about being a factory worker or anything like that. It seems like you can't go wrong learning how to program. I gave it a shot, and I don't think my brain operates on a level where I can program. It just, nothing made sense to me. But I've heard that if you learn one programming language really well, it's a lot easier to learn some of the other ones, because most of them all sort of have some of the same intricacies about them.
I agree with that, and I would say that you're probably selling yourself short. Even if you have a moderate level of WordPress skills and doing any kind of editing, you're a coder. You're just, it's a different kind of code than you might be used to.
So why aren't post formats in WordPress more popular? You know, it's not like they've gone anywhere. I actually read a very, very good detailed post by Joyce Grace over at managewordpress.com, and she had published a number of reasons that she thinks post formats are not as popular as they were when the feature first came out. And one of the issues she brings up is education, and I definitely think that's one of the leading reasons. Have you ever – I remember going to a local WordPress meetup trying to explain post formats, and it just didn't end well. And I dare somebody to explain post formats to somebody and then immediately after explain custom post types. I'll give you $10 if you could do that successfully without the, you know, without the person you're explaining it to scratching their head, like, because the terminology, it sort of seems like they would be one and the same.
Yeah. Unless you called it something like a custom template type or something like that, would maybe get a little bit of a different feel to it, you know.
And that's one of the arguments that was brought up in the comments of my post, where they thought it was better when it was called post templates.
Right.
I mean, not like post formats, but post templates. And I think that probably would have been a better choice of words for this type of functionality.
I know something that it could have been called that would have been a lot better, which is call it a stencil.
Really? A stencil?
Sure, because that's really what it is. Like, what are you going to shape this content as? What are you going to stencil it into?
Like a post stencil.
Well, kind of. I mean, what is it? And it might even be called like a template stencil or a theme stencil or something like that. It's more appropriate of a word.
Well, it didn't help that the UI components for post formats were delayed and then dropped out of core during the development cycle of WordPress 3.6. The main purpose of that UI was to expose the feature to thousands of users who otherwise may not have known about it or may not have experimented with it. And it's also one of the downsides is you can't utilize post formats if your theme doesn't have built-in styles to support them anyways. So it's not a guaranteed thing that if you select post formats that it'll look nice. And one of my gripes about post formats is that they're unpredictable. When you're putting a post together in a post editor in WordPress and you click preview, you see the single page view, template view of the post, meaning you'll see it, you know, in the single page view. You do not see it as it would be on the like home page, where you could actually see the post format applied. So I've always found that to be an annoyance because I don't know exactly how my post is going to look until after it's published and I could see it. I do not like that. Hopefully somewhere down the line that could be changed so that I can actually see what it looks like before I hit the publish button.
And so for those of you out there that might be a little confused as to what we're talking about, it's basically a function that as you're in the post editor, you see on the right side, there's a couple of different variables like audio, video, gallery, things like that. And technically, it's supposed to kind of reshape the post according to what it is that you select. And oftentimes it fails within themes because most of the time people don't incorporate those types of variances within the theme design. They just let it go. But, for example, let's just say we had one that was an audio that we wanted. Now, technically, the nice thing to have would be something that, as we put that particular type as audio, it would know that within the post editor we have included an audio file, we've included show notes, and it may format the post completely different, put a really cool player on top, put the show notes underneath, know to put the two contributors that are in the show as author blocks underneath that. Now that's technically how that's supposed to work. It's supposed to take data and reformat it into a predetermined template. And that's how it should work, but oftentimes doesn't, and that's why people gave up on them.
Do you think some end users out there are confused when they see that meta box or post formats that they click quote or post or something because that's matching the type of content they're writing or they're putting in the editor, and sometimes they may get that confused with categories?
Could be. You know, people make all kinds of mistakes with WordPress every day.
So I know there are themes out there that supports post formats. Collections by the Theme Foundry, that's a beautiful looking theme that does post formats. Mm-hmm. Beautifully executed, and I see some other other folks in the chat room, like Jeff Manson says, he definitely agrees. He thinks that post templates would have been a better way to describe that functionality. Mm-hmm. And then he also says that he thinks the main reason that it's not used is because of the theme developer is not building in functionality to support them. On the flip side of that argument, why should a theme developer add support to them if end users are not demanding it? So, you know, there's an argument out there that if users aren't demanding it, that's why we're not seeing it in a lot more themes.
True. Maybe it's half a dozen of one, six of the other, right? It's when will the adoption rate of developers start to fuel the usage rate of the users?
All right, so hopefully some sort of post-formats UI comes down the pike in the future, or that feature is revamped somehow to where it's more useful, better exposed to end users. But until then, it's just going to be, it'll just sit there. And if you're using a theme that supports them, you know, use them. Because one of the coolest things about post-formats is it encourages short-form content, and that makes... That can make blogging and publishing content addicting, because it's easy. You know, it's not so hard. You're not stuck in this rigid blog format of title, tags, category, and all this other stuff. You just post a video under the format. It looks good. It looks good for that type of post, and just be on your way. And it can be addicting.
Yeah, it sure can.
Next headline. I like to call it the hidden beauty of formats.
That's right. Next, we got BuddyPress 2.0 is going to add profile editing into the WordPress admin. That's something that's very intriguing, and that really will help quite a bit for those of you out there that run BuddyPress. I have one that is a private intranet for a company that a lot of people have different private groups amongst them, and oftentimes you don't want one person to know what group the other person is in. It's pretty cool kind of level security, and profile editing is always one of these that is a big problem with BuddyPress, so I'm very much looking forward to this new addition.
Yeah, Sarah mentions that the new community profile tab should save administrators quite a bit of time in managing their community, since they won't have to switch to the front end to view profiles. You'll be able to manage all that stuff in the back end in BuddyPress 2.0. So that should definitely be a time saver.
Definitely, yeah. Now, that's a great addition.
Now, back in WordPress 3.7, there is a particular feature that was supposed to be removed in favor of a plugin, and that was post by email. Now, we're coming up on WordPress 3.9, and post by email is still included in the core of WordPress as a core feature. I did a post earlier this week outlining why that is, and it turns out that the decision to remove it from core is valid. That decision has been made, and it will be done. However, how it will be done is still up for discussion. This is one of the first times where WordPress is removing a core feature and at the same time hoping to replace it with a plugin if they can determine that post by email is actually configured on the WordPress site. And there's in the post, Andrew Nason gave me a couple different scenarios that he thinks, different ways that how this could be implemented. It's a touchy subject, and the goal here is to make it as less of a hassle as possible to users that are using the post by email functionality in WordPress. And depending on the results of how this goes, we should see similar types of action done with the link manager. And I believe there's something else in WordPress that was hidden. There's a link manager and something else that could be actually removed and replaced by a plugin.
Yeah, I agree with this. To me, it leaves an open exploit that somebody can use to, you know, it's a way to get in. It's a hidden vent, right? To me, I don't want it. Everybody now is into doing apps and things like that, and I think that's a lot safer of a way to do it.
Yeah, my only gripe is if they, in the way that they achieve this, if they can determine that I do not have any of the fields entered or configured on my WordPress install, then it should automatically sort of remove that code from my WordPress install and not give me the plugin, because I don't want to go through that process of deleting the plugin. I mean, it's easy to do, but I just don't want to do that.
Oh, okay. So you dig Hello Dolly that comes there automatically?
And well, you know, we're not going to get into that. Hey, let's see here. Hey, you know what that means? I think that's our special guest, Nick Haskins. And Nick, thank you very much for joining the show. He is the lead developer and creator of a storytelling engine called Aesop. And Nick, thanks a lot for taking some of your time out today to be on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I pretty much write code. WordPress themes, WordPress plugins. My history kind of started with Flash websites, believe it or not, years and years ago.
Well, I bet that was fun.
You know, and those kind of started dying off when Responsive kind of first came out, and that's when I kind of started making the leap over to WordPress. So that's where I've kind of been ever since. So I love it.
Yeah, so how did you initially get involved with WordPress? Was it just plugins? Was it client sites? Or
yeah, so we actually ran a web development firm that built Flash websites, and we had built a WordPress theme that incorporated part of that Flash website as a Flash header into WordPress. So we actually built our first WordPress theme. It was a number of years ago. This is before I even knew kind of how the inner workings of WordPress even work to begin with. So a lot of that was outsourcing stuff. So that was kind of the first foray into kind of building WordPress themes and seeing how those things go.
This Jeff Manson in the chat room says Flash makes him want to cry in his beer.
Yeah, it does now, yo. In hindsight,
I used to go to templatemonster.com, and I'm guilty of purchasing a Flash header or two that had that really cool techno sound and all those animations, and
oh, yeah.
Boy, what a nightmare it was to edit those.
Yeah.
I can tell you, as a guy who worked for some time as an SEO guy, Flash was that nice little flag saying, hey, we got one right here on the line. It's not getting ranked.
Yeah.
So that's by the way, for you designers out there, that's a good trick. Troll around to see who's got Flash, and that's somebody who needs a quick refresh of their web presence.
Yeah.
So Nick, what was the inspiration to create Aesop, and what is the significance of the name?
Well, we started seeing what the New York Times, the Guardian, and all these other places are doing with these long-form interactive stories. So I started to wonder why we weren't seeing more of the same thing on WordPress. So around the same time, I stumbled upon Creativist, which is a storytelling platform on its own. And I was a bit intrigued by the fact that they had built their entire custom CMS just for this. So with prior experience with programming in WordPress, these stories, it just made sense to kind of try to build this in WordPress. So that's how I've kind of started kind of porting things over into WordPress to begin with.
So before Aesop, there were actually storytelling engines or places that allowed you to sort of create this type of content.
Exactly, yeah. There are places. I mean, Medium is one of those popular places. Subtle is another one of those places. They just open up to the public. So there's places that kind of allow you to create these things, although not to the kind of extent that Aesop will let you.
Yeah, some of the longer, long-form types of content I've been seeing lately has all been on Medium. And don't get me wrong, it looks great. And I've also seen, for example, there's a New York Times article where they did something about the Lost Road to Russia or something. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago on the episode. Before Aesop was released, I saw you were listening and said, yeah, I'm creating something just for what Jeff's talking about. But on the left-hand side, you get, it's like a map of this road in Russia. And as you scroll down the post, there's images and there's a story. And as you scroll down the post, you can see yourself. It's like you're traveling, and that content is sort of reflective to that area of the road that you're on traveling through Russia. And it was really cool. And I was thinking to myself, how can this something like this telling this type of story or these types of posts be created in WordPress? And I'm thinking, boy, it must have something to do with complex themes or templates or something to that effect for these specific posts. But and then I come across Aesop, I'm like, well, there you go. You know, this is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It makes it easy, easier for people, that's for sure. So, and being all wrapped up into its own plugin, it's really kind of depends on the theme. So there's just a lot of different applications, and people have short attention spans. So making a way for it to be interactive instead of just this block of text, you know, became kind of important. So.
And the way that I would describe it is sort of modular content that is not only you're not only doing kind of a cut and paste of specific layers, but you can stack them, you can move them. So you can really help to grasp the reader's emotions by what it is that you write and the images that you associate with it. And then one of the things that I've noticed is that if you're showing, say, pictures of a particular area and then you have some text that scrolls up to describe that, then underneath it you can actually embed a Google map with a satellite view that actually shows the area that you're talking about that they can kind of interact with and see for themselves what it is that you're referencing. So I thought it was great in the way that you kind of put all of those layers and modules together like that.
No, thank you. Thank you.
And so when I discovered ASOP, sort of going back to post formats, it reminds me of post formats because I'm seeing these different types of story components, which in my mind kind of look like post formats. And if you apply those components, they're going to have a specific look and feel to the story. But I know they're a lot more than that, but they're not a post format, correct?
Correct. It's not a post format.
So no, what's the main difference between the two, you would say?
They are short codes, simply put. That is all they are, is just a library of short codes. WordPress has a very solid short code API, and using that to kind of run selective code only when those things are used to make them encapsulated became one of the important priorities. So that's why and to be able to use them multiple times. So it became apparent that a short code was the way to go for that. So that is what they are.
And I think it's important to note that, you know, when we say short codes, sometimes when you're using themes, stuff can get lost and content can get lost and styling can get lost when you switch different themes because it's depending on short codes. Is that negative aspect of using short codes possible with using ASOP?
Well, as long as, I mean, it's all contained in the plugin, so you can kind of take that, take your short codes with you. I mean, if you're going to export your stories, you can import them into another theme, activate ASOP, and then everything's just going to go back to the way it was before you left it on the other theme. So it makes kind of migrating, and it doesn't lock you into anything. It's kind of one of the bonuses of that.
And if I remember correctly, ASOP, the functionality of ASOP started in a theme, and you actually sort of took it out, put it in a plugin, so that now, you know, it could, you know, it's not theme dependent.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It started as a theme, as you know, and the theme was out, and I don't consider that practice, but it kind of laid the foundation, and it kind of got me thinking of a different logic, a different way to do it. So everything was kind of pulled out and expanded and then ported into its own plugin. Exactly. So yeah, anything can utilize it. Kind of just up to the theme designer to kind of, you know, whatever their creativity takes them is what it's going to look like.
That's kind of funny because oftentimes I look at themes and I go, yeah, this guy should have made a plugin instead of trying to make a theme.
Yeah. Yeah. Functionality should, you know, for the most part, you know, be in plugins for sure.
So Nick, when did you decide to crowdfund the development of the platform, the ASOP platform?
When I, you know, the feedback that I was getting, there were things that really need to be put into play that that I'm not quite capable of. Well, I can pull these things off, but it would take me a while, and I need it done correctly and quickly. So the need to bring on some help, some hired help to solve these things correctly was one of the main reasons why. Also, you know, to validate the whole idea, is this even worth pursuing? So the crowdfunding is a great way to kind of validate, you know, an idea to begin with. If nobody backed it, then it obviously was not a good idea, and it was just in my mind. So but it kind of got attention, so kind of expounded on it.
Yeah, when Sarah published the post introducing Aesop to the masses on WP Tavern, I was watched the introductory video, and near the end of it, you say, is there interest? I need feedback. Would you like to use this? I mean, what's the answer to that question?
Yeah, well, there seems to be feedback. There seems to be a lot of interest. The crowdfunding campaign was it went really well. There was a lot of big companies who kind of put into it, and it's exciting to see where it's going to go next. There's a lot of opportunities.
Are you surprised by how well the campaign went?
I am.
What was your expectation?
Well, you know, as developers, we always second guess ourselves to begin with, and you know, this whole thing started. I was supposed to take my Mac in over the holidays to have it worked on, but I instead wrote this plugin, and I just had no idea that it would kind of evolve to this. But I'm truly grateful, and I'm excited to see where it goes. Yeah.
So let me ask, just for other people out there who are coders, and you know, these are the guys that I call the lunch bucket guys. You know, the heads down coders that oftentimes don't even really realize how amazing the plugins are that they make. You know, half the interviews that I do for my industry night show that's on WP Tavern is just people that made something that other people, you know, may not have even realized how incredibly, you know, paradigm shifting it is. So as far as the crowdfunding aspect, were there mistakes that you might have made that you could take back, that maybe you could suggest to other people not to do?
I'm very developer oriented in my mindset, so I think in hindsight I would have gotten together with somebody who knows how to talk proper English to the masses without coming across technical. I think and kind of getting the idea across, painting a bigger vision of how this can work for you and what you can do. Mm-hmm. I think those were two of the key things that I've kind of missed on that, but yeah.
Well, you know, you hit the right buttons as far as the graphic presentation in the demos. So I know for sure that it did take me a little bit of interpretation as far as it took Sarah's article to really translate what the capabilities of it were.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, once I saw your demo and saw really what it could do from that kind of layered level, it very much impressed me. And is there plans for maybe a showcase of how other people are using it as well?
Yeah, that has come up. We're kind of trying to figure out what to do with the main site and how to kind of take that forward, but we do plan on getting what other people are doing, what other people are building with it, and kind of showcasing that, absolutely.
Excellent.
So you've made about $500, I think it was $500 extra from what you were originally asking for in your crowdfunding campaign. What do you plan to use the money for? Is it servers, development, or to build out the hosted platform?
Yeah, so to bring in another developer to fix the things and to build the things based on feedback, servers, branding, the hosting, everything that comes with establishing a business, all those types of things, of course, cost money. And to do it right costs money. So that's where kind of that whole thing came from, was to kind of be able to afford to do all that correctly.
I want to ask you this. This is a really cool question, and based on what Aesop is and what it's capable of. But this person in the chat room, Omkel Fatran, is one of those crazy names. He asked the question: could Aesop be used for creating adventure games? You know, with multiple choices and endings.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty clever idea. You could combine Gravity Forms does quizzes and conditional things. You could actually display different things based on. That's an interesting application. I'm sure it could be done. Absolutely, it spits out raw HTML. So I mean, whatever the developer wants to do with it is entirely up to them.
Yeah. Not only that, you could infuse plugins into Aesop as well, right? So every plugin that you have already used on WordPress, you can use within Aesop.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's kind of the fun things that you could do for Choose Your Own Adventure. Not only do you choose your own adventure, but say you want to write graffiti on a wall somewhere. And then the next person that gets to that adventure is going to see the last person's little entry.
Oh, there you go.
So that's how layered we can get with this. You can make interactive stories. It doesn't. You can have a poll halfway in the story and say, all right, what do you think about what this guy just said? And then you can keep going with the story and then move on to, you know, what do you think of this character?
So, layered dimensions has come up before.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Man, that sounds crazy. And then you could turn the whole thing into a GitHub project, and everybody could start contributing and adding storylines or adding, you know, different little things that go on and can sort of change direction into different endings. I'm liking where this is going.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, looking forward to seeing where it goes. That's why it's open source. It is GPL. It is free to expand upon. So excited to see what happens with it.
So how important is it, Nick, that themes have built-in support for the various storytelling components? I think Aesop ships with a default theme, or there's a default theme available for it. Am I correct?
Yeah, well, there wasn't anything, but then when the feedback I started getting was, we need some themes. So I put together a real quick theme and put it on GitHub. It just shows the single post page, but... Aesop, it has I call it a hybrid width capability. Those components can go full width, or they can go to the content width, or the width of the content of that center column on most themes. So it can fit into anything, but to really take advantage of that hybrid width, you know, the width just needs to be focused on the paragraph element. So there's one small shift in the way the theme is styled to really take advantage of it fully.
Yeah, so how important are themes going to be towards the longevity or the success of Aesop in general? I mean, it'd be really cool to start seeing some themes that are just entirely built for Aesop instead of maybe just a typical WordPress theme that just has, you know, kind of side dish type support for it.
Right. Yeah, one of the biggest pieces of feedback we've got was themes. So that... another portion of that funding is going to go to getting with the designer to get the first 2 to 3 themes up and out as kind of showcase pieces to show this is kind of what you can do. They'll be geared toward different genres, you know, maybe some geared towards a photo-centric, another one geared towards maybe long-form content like Medium mixed in with some interactive elements. So themes are extremely important in this thing. You know, pretty much being successful. So
have you seen anything? I know Aesop's only been around for a little while, but have you seen anything out there already, people using Aesop in ways that you didn't think were possible yet?
I haven't. I've seen a lot of people have tested it out to see what it does, and there's a lot of people mentioning interesting applications with it. So I've kind of taken all this feedback and to mine with the first few themes, but I haven't seen any official theme or anything come out with it yet.
Yeah, that'll be really cool if you ever get a showcase available and can point people towards very, very interactive visual and audio elements, stories online.
Yeah, imagine the people who do even like recipe blogs and cooking blogs, how they could take pictures of the dish in various stages of preparation.
Yeah, and you could add like a olfactor component, so you could smell the food.
Almost.
Oh, there
you go. Almost. You know?
USB component.
Yeah. I mean, really, when you think about it, the people who do like fashion blogging, you know, could show pictures of the shoes and the various components, but then describe them underneath, and you know, here's the stores that I went to get them with the Google Map highlighted.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really modular. It's a modular way to editorialize the things that you create and the things that you do with your content. And it's right now, I think, Nick, that you've created kind of this new 3D layered canvas that we're all just going to have to sit around and brainstorm and work with you know, finally I think I can make content that looks very vibrant and cool, and I don't have to do a million different pieces of code. You know, that's the thing that I like about it.
That's good to hear, because that was kind of the main, to make it easy for the average person to do these things that took, you know, 12 months, 16, you know, staffers to do, you know, for New York snowfall time, so, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that we actually have an advantage over those types of situations, because we can still incorporate our favorite plugins within the content that we're making like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jeff, I think this is going to not only shift WordPress, but I think it's going to shift the people that create with WordPress because of the fact that you can make a much more visually appealing presentation to the viewer without having to be a Photoshop guy, without having to, you know, be all this, do all this crazy programming. As long as you know, okay, I'm going to throw a map module down, I'm going to throw a poll down about this. So I know going in, I'm going to ask this question, and the poll could be some kind of layered thing that zooms up on top of the rest of the content, and they have to finish the poll before they can go back down to the rest. I mean, that's how this thing can roll.
When ASAP came out and I looked at the storytelling components and I saw just how awesome it would be to use different components for long form content, the first thing that came to my mind was WordPress.com. There are tons of authors and people creating really long detailed articles on WordPress.com, and you know they have themes available for post formats, but to be able to use these different components and to create visual stories, I think WordPress.com, something like this would explode. I think a lot of people who use WordPress.com would cheer and jump for joy to have something like this available to them.
Yeah, I think it would attract a lot more attention or a lot more visits to their site and their stories if it's all of a sudden, wow, this is interactive and compelling.
I know that it's... things on WordPress.com are pretty secure and pretty stingy on how new features and new things are added to the whole WordPress.com infrastructure. But, boy, I wonder, I wonder if something like this will be developed in-house for WordPress.com, if they have even considered something like this to give to their users, or if they'll just wait back and see how well ASAP performs and see what kind of demand you get before they make any moves to either try and incorporate what you have already into WordPress.com or maybe do something of their own.
Yeah.
But I think it would be cool if somehow maybe on the ASAP hosted side of things, or you know, like you sort of had the service there and you just create the story there and maybe embed into a WordPress.com site, but then I think the whole purpose of being on ASAP hosted is then you won't be on WordPress.com. You're actually creating all your content on the ASAP hosted platform.
Yeah, that and you'd actually have some dedicated themes for that experience.
And speaking of the hosted platform, tell us about it. I mean, what's the advantages of using the hosted platform versus a standalone WordPress install?
Yeah, so I mean, as we talked about the, you know, you need a really good theme, kind of built around ASAP. So it became important to kind of provide an easy way for people to get up and going quickly. So that's where kind of the whole hosted platform came from. And to expand on that, a different level would allow you to actually sell your story, so people could actually subscribe to you as an author, and then they would basically subscribe to your stories.
That sounds cool. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Especially in a day and age where book publishers are, you know, you could be a best-selling author and you're not going to make, you know, people think that if you become a best-selling author on the New York Times or Amazon that you're going to make money and be rich, but you know, after you take out the cut from the publisher, then the authors don't get very much. So it would be really cool if you can create these visual stories and be able to sell them and kind of get rid of the publisher. The actual author themselves can handle all of that.
Yeah, times are changing. Content creation is changing too. So that's for sure.
Yeah, if you imagine this, that's the whole different avenue of this, is when you plug this into, say, a membership site, and then you're getting content as it happens, instead of buying an ebook that's a flat thing that does nothing,
yeah,
you're really kind of immersing yourself into the entire experience, to where, I mean, they could incorporate fan art for author stuff and, you know, any of that stuff, live tweets from the characters as the storyline unfolds, you know?
Nice.
Man, look at this. Nick's face is lighting up, even though we can't see it. It's
lighting up. I've been writing notes the whole time.
Well, you've got the podcast. You can just download. But, I mean, it's just kind of lifted the canvas a little bit. And what we saw is now 2D is now kind of 3D. And, you know, it's like the emergence of the 3D movie, the resurgence of it, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
It's just given a little bit different of a layer than what we're typically used to.
Absolutely.
Now, Marcus, you have made the statement that Aesop could be a slideshare killer.
I agree. Yeah, well, yeah, I made the statement. That. I agree with my own statement. Yes, I do. I think so. I think if there were modules where you could load in presentations and maybe PDFs or PowerPoints or things like that, and it could, you know, spit out different things, that might be a way to do it, or just not even make a PDF to begin with, or waste your time with a PowerPoint, just design it all in WordPress. And give yourself some up-to-date functionality. But I think, yeah, you could use this as sort of a live infographic, let's say, to where you're really seeing stuff real-time, and as you're talking about, say, a specific hashtag subject, then you could actually show the hashtag feed in the next module, you know? So
Maybe Nick should just bundle SlideShare and just turn it into a component.
There you go.
Yeah, so I mean, from that perspective, of a presentation perspective, I really think it's pretty slick, and even for designers out there, this may be a good way for you to present a proposal, even, because then you can show your gallery of your of the things that you want to do, and your portfolio, and all of the other kind of accoutrements that come with that, of being able to have just a really nice presentation that's not just next page, next page, next page.
Yeah, absolutely. Not mundane.
Yeah, so that's really what I think. And imagine even using it for, even if you don't want to use it like that, and if you're just a regular Joe and you want to use it on your site and you're not really using it for great storytelling, what if you wanted to use it just for your resume page? And go through the different projects that you've done with, you know, you holding your award with your boss and shaking hands, and then going scrolling down a little bit further, and then you move to this place and show the map of, you know, your movement and all that. And it really is a different way to not just tell stories but present content.
Absolutely.
Well, on the flip side, you can have a beautiful theme, but if the people, the content producers, are putting content in the theme in such a way, sometimes you run into the problem where the content producers, the way they format it or put the content in the theme, kind of wrecks it, ruins everything. It kind of makes the theme and the overall presentation of content look bad. I'm guessing, I don't think Aesop would be able to prevent that, but I do believe there's some work on the content producer's part to help make their content shine using Aesop and the different components.
Yeah, you can definitely use a hammer the wrong way, that's for sure. So, yeah, you can definitely do some damage. You know, there is going to be, you know, somewhat of a, if you're using it to build stories, somewhat of a creative eye when it comes to producing that content. So, yeah, that probably could become something important as that goes on.
We got a couple suggestions in the chat room. Aesop could be perfect for step-by-step tutorials, or Aesop is like the pop-up books of WordPress.
Ah, there you go.
That is a great descriptive, the pop-up book of WordPress.
Pop-up, yeah, that's going on my sketch pad again. I like that.
So, Nick, what sort of hurdles have to be jumped over that are in front of you right now to have Aesop reach the widest possible audience? Or are you specifically honing in on a specific people that you want using the service?
No, there's very few technical things that need to happen. I'm going to reach out to some developers to help me with those. But I'm really thinking within the next month, this will go up on the WordPress.org plugin repo, and it'll be available to everybody. Be pushing it to everybody, be seeing lots of applications, be pushing a lot of examples out there, a lot of themes showing what it can do. So I'm excited to see what people come up with.
Why is it not on the repo right now? Is it just not ready?
It's not. I don't consider it ready. It probably is debatable. I didn't know if you. I just didn't feel comfortable putting in a pre-release on there. Kind of test it between everybody, and then put the final 1.0 up.
A plugin developer with standards? No way.
I just don't. I don't know if that's normal or not. You know, I haven't had a ton of plugins on there, but yeah.
Well, if you wait for it to be perfect, you'll never release it. So
yeah, I know it. 1.0 should be in the next couple of weeks, and you can see it up there. So yeah, that's what I can say.
So that wraps it up for the questions I have, and it looks like the chat room has sort of calmed down. Do you have anything else, Marcus, for Nick?
Oh, I think there's a lot that can be done with ASOP, even though, you know, we've already been exposed to this kind of new, to me it was kind of like stumbling upon uranium accidentally, like, wow, look at this, you know? So I'm one of these guys that's probably going to be in your ear all the time now about what you've made and what it can be. Yeah, and it's always something for me that I'm already trying to think of new ways of styling my own content to incorporate more of this modular approach. And it's the ones that are the pioneers that are going to be able to master this kind of presentation first.
Yeah,
are going to be the most successful at it.
Yeah, I agree there. Well, feedback is paramount, so I'm happy to have it.
All right.
I don't know if you've seen the project details, Nick, but might have been a few weeks ago or probably a few months ago, there is a project that was proposed to sort of revamp the post editor, the content creation experience in WordPress, and they were using things that they called content blocks. And they had like a Google Maps one and a Twitter block, and you would just select that block, and then I guess you'd put your content in, or that block would be end up in the post area, and I guess you could move things around, and I guess that was sort of the idea of modularizing content. So the idea of turning different pieces of content into a post into components is there, and at least some people that are close to the core of WordPress have sort of explored that idea, so it would be interesting to see if at some point in the future the core of WordPress and the content creation experience itself goes more towards this component approach versus everything sort of in one page and we're just sort of clicking buttons and stuff and embeds.
Right, yeah, I see everything, everything is steadily moving to the front as it is, so that way there's not so much back and forth, so I'm excited to see, where it goes, where they go with that particular, and how ASOP can play a part of that.
And before we let you go, we talked a little bit about the hosted platform, but are there prices involved here? Do people have to pay to use ASOP? I know the plugin's free, but where does price come into play, in terms of continuously having a funding resource to continue development on this?
Yeah, so the hosted is going to have a price. I mean, it's going to be, we haven't figured out exactly, but it's going to be sub $10 a month, be able to publish stories. So there's definitely going to be a pro aspect that will allow you to sell stories. We have plans to kind of open up a collaboration network to collaborate with other artists and editors, photographers, so you can kind of bring other people into your story to kind of collaborate with you. So there's some things that we want to build out to offer to pro people that will only be available to those guys. So,
collaborated stories sounds really cool.
Yeah, they kind of invite in a photographer. You know, you say you get done writing your story, and then you want to invite in an illustrator to kind of put her illustrations in. Then perhaps maybe you guys share part of that commission on the story when that sells. So
conspiracy theorists unite. This is your thing right here.
There's a lot of, and that type of stuff. You know, it requires some work. That's where kind of that funding came into play. So. Yeah, I'm excited to kind of bring that out.
Yeah, if people can't tell in our voices during the show when we start talking about possibilities with Aesop, Marcus and my minds are, blown. They're at that blown stage.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's things I'm not even going to talk about on the show, so I'm censoring myself already.
Nice.
So, Nick, Aesop sounds awesome. It's unbelievable. It's great to finally have something available to us that allows us to create stories like the New York Times, some of these big media organizations where, as you mentioned in the video or in text, you said it took them like 12 days or, some massive amount of manpower and all this other stuff to create specific pages or, sometimes entire websites to tell one story. And thanks to Aesop and your story components, you've enabled countless tons of people have access to those type of tools now to really visually get their story out there and tell it in a way that's just not ordinary, not really possible in the standard blog layout type of ways of publishing content.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So all the best to you, and good luck, and once you release the plugin officially on Dota.org, once it gets approved, ping me and so I can tell everybody else about it.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do.
All right. Where can people find you and keep tabs on you and the Aesop project?
For now, Twitter, at NP Haskins. Next week, we're going to start setting up official accounts for Aesop, but until then, that's where you can find the updates.
Awesome. Congratulations, Nick, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Marcus, before we get out of here, you have a couple of plug-in picks. The plug-in guru always has some plug-in picks of the week. Tell us what you got.
All right. Well, one of these came out just the other day. It's called Layered Pop. It actually makes layered kind of parallax pop-ups. And it is a Code Canyon premium plugin, but there is a free version on the repository. It's basically way beyond what you'd normally see with a pop-up that asks somebody to sign up for perhaps a newsletter or lead form. This thing has layers, so you can make it almost like it were a video, so to speak, and you can actually embed video within it. So it's really something worth checking out. The cost on it for the premium version is $16, so that won't kill you if you want to go that route. Another one that we're looking at is Agreeable. It lets you add agree to terms checkboxes to your WordPress admin login or your registration pages, requiring users to agree to your terms and conditions before they can log in. So basically, if you go to whatever your domain is, .com/wp-admin, you'll get that box where it asks for the username and password, and then also underneath you see remember password, but underneath that you're going to see agree to terms and conditions, which that terms and conditions is highlighted as a link. You click that link and it pops up with your terms and conditions, which you do set in this plugin. So very cool way to restrict. Yeah, go ahead.
No, an episode or two ago, didn't you mention a similar plugin that did the same thing?
I did, but it did not actually work with BuddyPress, which this one does.
Okay, so, and BuddyPress is probably, since you're going to have a community and lots of users, you're probably going to want to have something to where people have to agree to stuff.
That's right, like non-disclosure agreements and things like that every time they log into the site. So this is a great one. It's called Agreeable. And finally, one that was just released that I've had just a few minutes to toy around with, and it looks pretty good so far, is called Sandbox. It's a plugin that creates a completely independent test site using your existing hosting, and it's only available to administrators as far as your views. So with two simple clicks, an entire back-end sandbox is created using your existing hosting space. So you don't have to go local as far as your test setup with your content and everything else that's on your site. You can kind of clone the whole thing and put a back-end sandbox, run some plugins on the back end, and see if they work right for you. So you can even create multiple sandboxes of the same site and test different configurations and themes too. So check that out. It's called Sandbox.
This sounds really cool. Does it create a subdomain, or how does this work?
It's just actually kind of almost a search. It's just a query kind of thing on the back end. So it creates a duplicate set of data within your database, and then it kind of renders a secondary site that only the admin can see.
Huh. Boy, that sounds interesting. I'll have to give this a try after the show. I guess it wouldn't. Since it's going to be in the same database, it's not. You're not backing anything up. It's just sort of kind of segmenting the database and giving you a test box to play with without affecting your actual data.
Right. It's just like when you run something in the sandbox on your PC. You know, you're still using the same hard drive. You're still using the same operating system. You're just moving it to a separate location that won't affect your main installation.
Sounds cool. So, that's going to wrap it up for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. Next episode will be on Friday, February 7th, with our special guest Jonathan Atkinson, where we'll discuss what it's like to make a living through Theme Forest. So that'll be a pretty cool episode. And you can find episodes, and show notes for WordPress Weekly on wptavern.com. In fact, today we've made an addition to the website. This is the easiest way you'll find show notes for this show. If you look at the top of the website, there's a link called Categories, which is a drop-down menu. Select WordPress Weekly, and the show notes, the most recent post, will be shown to you on that category listing page. That's the easiest way to find show notes for the episode, because we're publishing 3, 4, 5, 6 posts a day on the Tavern website, because that's how busy the WordPress ecosystem is, and show notes posts are easily get lost or go to the next page. So you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JEFFR0. You can follow Sarah, I guess I'll do it for her, I'll help her out. You can follow Sarah on Twitter at Polly Plummer, that's PollyPlummer. And Marcus, Marcus Couch?
I am indeed. Always have been since I was born.
At Marcus Couch, you can also visit his website, I believe it's MarcusCouch.com.
Yes.
And you are also one of the hosts, of the Plugins A to Z podcast, correct?
That's correct. You can find that at wppluginsa2z.com. And also every Tuesday, except I missed a couple, sorry, we run Industry Night at the Tavern, where I sit one-on-one and talk to people about plugins. So if you subscribe to the WordPress Weekly podcast in iTunes, you'll also find it through the same feed. So hope you guys are enjoying that one as well.
Awesome, and that's going to do it for this week's show. Everybody have a great weekend. Go Broncos.